Hello and welcome to another episode of Blue Alpine TV. In today's episode, we are going to talk about Bitcoin apps. We're going to talk about Bitfury's potential IPO. We're going to talk about Bitstamp and why Bitcoin and cryptocurrencies have been a good investment in the last 4 years. But before we get started, guys, check out this for the podcast listeners. I'm currently showing you the Brave browser. Yes, I have switched fully to the Brave browser for a couple of weeks now. Actually, since they announced that it fully supports Chrome extensions natively, I am on the Brave browser and it works quite well, I must say. It has some smaller bugs here and there, but nothing too major. And in my opinion, quite a good tool to get started with cryptos. But yes, yeah, let's get in right started with this first poll, actually. So what we're seeing here for the podcast listeners, would you be willing to pay for an open source Bitcoin app? The question comes from Lucas Bechard. He is the president of the Bitcoin Association in Switzerland. And he asked this question because he is saying so far all wallets and all the Bitcoin apps I know are free. I personally would be happy to pay quite a bit for a good Bitcoin wallet or other Bitcoin related apps. Now the thing is, and for the podcast listeners, currently the poll says 51% would vote yes, or would actually pay, we be willing to pay for a Bitcoin app, and 49% say no. 5,335 people have voted. And the thing is, in my opinion, the issue, and I think Lucas is kind of referring to that issue, is the same issue that we've talked about on this channel in the past. The issue is Bitcoin or cryptocurrency apps have a user experience problem. Cryptocurrency apps in general are not really user friendly. Everyone who has used a cryptocurrency exchange knows this for a fact. It's terrible. And you're always super nervous when sending money around. And talking about world domination with something like this, not going to happen. So I believe this is actually a pull into the right direction. I would support something like this if the user experience would be great, but the question is who will develop it, who will make an application as this? Will it come from a company like Coinbase? Will it be more of a kind of private effort or a non-profit effort? We will find out, hopefully. So if you have any kind of really nicely done Bitcoin app that's free or even paid, send it over. I'd be happy to take a look at this. Next up, quite an interesting news story. It actually came out, I think, yesterday. And for a lot of people in Europe, actually, Bitstamp has been one of the biggest and most helpful exchanges when it comes to buying crypto, kind of getting their first foot into crypto. And Bitstamp has actually been bought out by a company called NXMH, a Belgium-based investment company. They have acquired Bitstamp in an all-cash deal. And although they have acquired, I think, 90% of all the shares, 10% still says, 80% stake in Bitstamp, 10% stays with Kodrich, who is and will continue to be the CEO of Bitstamp. As far as I know, Bitstamp has been Europe's first and only crypto exchange in the beginning, and now it is still the oldest that is still running. Pantera Capital Management, they have made an investment over $10 million and they have cashed out. So probably was a good deal. My assumption, obviously the correct number is not out yet. I believe the number is in the range of, I don't know, $200 to $500 million, probably somewhere in between. I don't think it's going to be way higher than this. I don't think it's in the $1 billion range, mainly because the company that bought it is, I think, $2 billion company anyway. So yeah, with assets under management of more than 2 billion euros is the European subsidiary of South Korean-based NXC. So it could be, of course, that they have billions to invest, but I don't think so. So my assumption is that the range was around 200 to 500 million US dollars or euros. We'll probably never find out. But in any case, I hope that Bitstamp continues the good service that they have done so far, and we'll see whether anything will change. Actually, let's jump right into this story. We continue with investments and going public and all of these things. Bitfury considers Europe's first major crypto IPO. Now, Bitfury is a mainly a mining company, and they have mining operations in Georgia. They have offices in London and Amsterdam, and they are mainly a tech hardware company. So they are producing mining products, and very comparable to the Hong Kong equivalent, if you will, what was it called? Now I forget it, of course I forgot it. Bitmain, of course, Bitmain. Sorry about that, guys. So very comparable to Bitmain, but revenue-wise, only a small amount. So as far as I know, Bitfury made around $450 million for the 12 months through March in revenue, and compare that to Bitmain's around $3 or $4 billion in revenue, and I think $1 billion of that is actually profit. So it's more of a smaller company, but still, for European standards and for the crypto world, it's actually a big thing. Now, why is this IPO important, and why do I believe the IPO should hopefully happen within Europe? The thing is, in Europe, generally, when it comes to technology, we have very little of a technology scene. Of course, we have Berlin, we have London, we have Stockholm, we have all these kind of, or even Estonia and all of these countries. We have all of these small technology hubs, yet not huge companies have come out of these countries in the last couple of years compared to Silicon Valley and even China. What would be really cool if we would have this kind of IPO in the Eurozone would essentially mean that once, let's say, the investors, the founders, the employees all have made a bunch of money by going public, they will mostly or more most likely reinvest a bunch of this money into the market and into smaller startups. That's actually how the investment circle in Silicon Valley works. So I believe if Bitfury would IPO in London, and they're currently, I think, checking London, Hong Kong, and I thought Amsterdam as well for initial public offering. Yeah, Amsterdam, London, and Hong Kong. So if they could do an IPO in London, for example, that would mean that the major, or Amsterdam even, that the majority of the money would stay within Europe, and people would kind of feel more connected and actually believe, if they believe in the company, they would invest in it. But most importantly, the employees would reinvest the money into the ecosystem, kind of where they grew up, if you will. In Hong Kong, that may or may not be possible. I'm not sure. And that's why I believe, hopefully, that Bitfury will go public in the Eurozone. Next up, and actually last up, we have quite interesting charts. Willy Wu is a, let's say, crypto personality on Twitter, and he has shared an interesting chart. For the podcast listeners, we're currently looking at Bitcoin risk-adjusted returns versus other assets. So we have a chart here, starts at around 2012, goes until 2018. And if you look at all of these at the bottom, you see Bitcoin, you see US stocks, you see US real estate, you see bonds, you see gold, and emerging currencies and oil. Now, what is quite interesting here, and of course everyone will say, yeah, of course, in the last 1 or 2 years, Bitcoin has had crazy runs. Yet, if you look at the four-year chart, Bitcoin overperforms almost every asset. And this is risk-adjusted returns. It's calculated using Sharpe ratio over a four-year HODL period. Now, that's quite interesting, considering that since 2008, the economy, or the world economy in general, has been booming, let's say, and still Bitcoin was the better investment. So for all the people who said, well, you only bought Bitcoin last year, that's how you made money, blah, 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 look at graphs like these. I will actually share this kind of tweet storm, if you will, because he's sharing some different charts here that are quite interesting. And it goes into the direction of why or how we can compare Bitcoin as an asset to other investment or investable assets, such as stocks, bonds, and all of these things. So here he looks at volatility, he looks at money supply versus USD money stock, and all of these things. So definitely interesting if you interested in looking at this also kind of from a chart or graph perspective over a bunch of years. And yeah, now with that, guys, we're already at the end of today's episode. Make sure to give this video a like, subscribe to the channel, subscribe to the podcast, I will continue to provide you with good content. Don't forget to join the Telegram channel, and I will actually post an article probably by the end of this week about stablecoins. So we'll probably do a separate video on that as well. I'll see you on the next one. Take care. Bye-bye.